and it's with the symbolism of offerings and self-sacrifice that we're concerned this evening. Now, the Buddha lived as Buddha, that is to say, as an enlightened individual, for 45 years. And then came what tradition calls the parinirvana, the final passing away, the dissociation of the enlightened consciousness from the physical body. But after the parinirvana, after the physical passing away of the Buddha, people still felt intense gratitude towards the Buddha, felt gratitude for the teaching. If anything, as the teaching spread, as people found it more and more effective in practice, they felt more grateful than ever. And they still wanted, even after the parinirvana, still wanted to express that gratitude. But the Buddha, having passed away, was no longer present in the flesh to receive the expressions of their gratitude, to receive their offerings. So we find, in the century or so after the parinirvana, that the practice developed of making offerings, offerings which would have been made to the Buddha had he been still living, making offerings to the stupas, or rather making them to relics of the Buddha, ashes, fragments of bone and so on, enshrined in the stupas, or even simply making them to the stupas in memory of the Buddha. And you may recollect that we dealt with the tantric symbolism of the stupa in the course of the second lecture. Now, this practice of making offerings to stupas is usually known in English books on the subject as stupa worship. But it isn't really that. If anyone is being worshipped through the stupa, it's the Buddha. Worshipped, if we can use that expression at all, out of a feeling of gratitude. Gratitude for the teaching. So we find that for several hundred years after the parinirvana, stupa worship, as we may call it, was a prominent feature of all forms of Buddhism. A prominent feature, that is to say, of popular Buddhism. It occupied a very important place in the religious life, the practical religious life of the laity. As far as we know, the monks were not so much concerned with the stupa worship. They devoted themselves rather to meditation. Now we know from literary records and archaeological evidence, we know that the stupas during this period were not only worshipped, or the Buddha not only worshipped through the stupa, we find that the stupas were also elaborately decorated. We find that they were festooned with garlands of flowers. They were hung with flags and banners and bells. And in fact, we find that they became centres, eventually, of great religious festivals. People would spend years upon years building a magnificent stupa. They'd spend months decorating it. And then there'd be festivals going on for weeks and weeks. And during these festivals, people would spend the whole day circumambulating the stupa, chanting and making offerings of various kinds, lighting lamps especially. So this sort of practice, this sort of cult, if you like, centering upon the stupa, was a very prominent feature of popular Buddhism in India for some hundreds of years after the parinirvana. But then we find a change took place. And what was that change? The change was that the Buddha image appeared. Now, there's no general agreement among scholars and historians as to exactly where the first image of the Buddha, the first representation of the Buddha in stone, appeared. Some say it was in Gandhara, others in Mathura, others even say that it was in Ceylon. But wheresoever it first appeared, it very quickly became popular all over India and all over the Buddhist East. It was taken up by all forms of Buddhism. and the Buddha images remained, as we know, popular right down to the present. So much so that we can hardly nowadays think of Buddhism without the Buddha image. And for some people, perhaps, maybe not very well informed, the Buddha image is Buddhism. Now, the introduction of the Buddha image had important consequences for the whole of popular Buddhism. As a result of the introduction of the Buddha image, stupa worship declined in popularity. Popular devotion was largely transferred to the Buddha image. It's not that the stupa was entirely neglected. In fact, it continues to be venerated right down to modern times. But for all practical purposes, the Buddha image became the object, the centre of popular devotion, popular worship. And the image, the offerings, which formerly were made to the stupas, now came to be made to the images. Indeed, we may say that after the introduction of the Buddha image, offerings became more and more elaborate. Not only that, but assumed a deeper and deeper significance.